So I'm just hopping on today with an announcement about the contest I will be running in the first week of April, where you stand a chance to win a free one-hour coaching session with me. All you have to do to be entered to win is to leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts. And to do that, you will go into Apple Podcasts or iTunes, scroll down all the way to the bottom of the show, and you will see the 5 stars where you can rate the show. And below that, in small purple writing, you'll see write a review. Click on write a review and you can put your comments in the box and click send. And once you've written your review, take a screenshot of it before you click send. And then come into the Facebook group, Career Growth and Pivot Strategies for Health Professionals. Post your review there and you will stand a chance to have a one-on-one session with me where we can chat about your career goals and help you on your path of career development. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, lift as you rise. In today's episode, we're going to chat to an inspiring guest who is doing just that. And the lesson for us all is that in the course of developing our own careers, we can share our growth lessons and experiences with those who are coming behind us. And as we sow seeds into the lives of others, so we create opportunities for even our own career progress. I hope you enjoy this one. Are you a health professional facing a crossroads in your career but feeling unsure of which direction to go in or what next steps to take? Are you tired of working hard and not seeing results in terms of career growth? Do you long to build purpose into your work but feel stuck as you don't have a clear focus, are unsure how to package your value, or are uncertain what professional development opportunities you may need to carve out a new career path? Hi, I'm Dr. Diane, boy mom, immigrant, visionary, and career pivot strategist, and I'm here to help you find career clarity, identify and leverage your value, and clarify the steps you need to take so that you can confidently transition into the next phase of your career, scale your professional impact, and find greater fulfillment. If this is music to your ears, pull up a chair and let's chat. So good day. Today, I am delighted to have with me Dr. Levi Osuagwu, who is a senior lecturer and academic lead for rural health at the School of Medicine at Western Sydney University in Australia. Dr. Levi got his Doctor of Optometry degree in Nigeria and subsequently went on to complete a master's in the United Kingdom and a PhD in Australia, and is now an academic flourishing in his research profile and research career down under. And I'm so delighted that he's joined me today as a fellow optometrist from the African continent. Welcome, Dr. Levi, and thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on this podcast today.
And thanks, Diane, for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Dr. Levi, you know, I have to say from the bottom of my heart that I've admired your journey so much. You know, as a fellow academic, I know what it means to build an academic career. But beyond, you know, just admiring your research growth and academic growth and how you've advanced your own personal journey, I've invited you today to really acknowledge you stepping up to the leadership cause for African optometry, even though you are in the diaspora. And I think that serves as a role model for so many. You know, for me, it's giving back to our profession as optometrists and as a fellow African wanting to contribute back to the continent of Africa in a way where your contributions will really impact eye health and healthcare service provision really beyond your lifetime. And that is a legacy leadership contribution that is selfless. So I'm humbled to even chat to you today about your journey and to hopefully glean some insights as to what has motivated you to take this path. So, to open the interview today, I just want our listeners to know that you have a thriving academic career in Australia. You've established yourself, you're respected in your field. But most recently, you led an initiative to start an African chapter of the American Academy of Optometry. You want to tell us a little bit about that journey?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. I think it's really great to see what you're doing, and I do learn from your bold steps. And seriously, there's a lot of opportunities for optometrists that we haven't tapped into yet. It's good to see people with that vision and thriving in it. So kudos on that. That's a very good thing for the continent. Look, that question is important to me. And to tell you the truth, when you invited me for this interview, I speak very passionately about optometry, and sometimes I think I'm a bit too passionate for what I'm doing. So what I did was to conceptualize my ideas and what will really touch people after this podcast. And my journey into the field of optometry has been deeply rooted in a passion for advancing eye care, accessibility, and quality eye care in the continent, particularly in those underserved communities. While I've had the privilege of pursuing my academic career in Australia and the UK, my heart really goes back to where I came from, back to my roots in Africa. And on reflecting on the state of optometry in Africa, I see tremendous potential and equally significant challenges. We come from a place where even academic resources are difficult. People can't get access to materials to read to educate themselves. The finances even involved in having a PhD, if you don't have a scholarship, is almost unaffordable to any African person. So that disparity in access to eye care services across our continent is glaring, with millions of people looking for opportunities to enhance themselves. But that doesn't come easy. So for me, I see it as a privilege to be able to stand here today and say I've got a PhD. I've got a thriving career. It's just not my making. I was just one of those lucky ones. So it really touches me to see where I can use the opportunity to impact lives in Africa. And the reason that initiative for the American Academy of Optometry African chapter came to me. By creating a platform for collaboration like the AAO would do, there's knowledge exchange. So people get to interact with professionals outside of the realm of Africa, those who have seen it all, who have gone through the same challenges and are able to come back to bless the country from their knowledge. Rizzo brought out all the fellows from Africa. We formed a forum for them to say, look, what can you bring back to the community, having achieved all this outside of Africa? And you can imagine the number of people who say yes just on a phone call. Levi, I was waiting for this opportunity to do this. It tells you that it's not just me. Every African like you have got insights as in, what can I do to change what's happening in my home country? It's all in us. It's born in every one of us. And I see that enthusiasm all the time. And that really drives me, Diane. Because when you call someone and they are waiting for opportunity to give in without being paid, it's priceless in the Western world.
So true.
And people are just there expecting that call. So that's, again, is a driving force for me to say, look, I think we are in a good space here. Can we explore more opportunities that can help us to bring back knowledge to those back home so they can thrive? They've got the capacity, they've got the knowledge, somebody skillful, but these opportunities do not present themselves to them. So it's really key to see where the American Academy, with its global platform, can enhance the skill set of these individuals, even offer them opportunities that they can go beyond Africa to make impact. This is where the American chapter is a good place to start for me.
Wow, that's amazing. I hear the passion in your voice. I can hear that drive in you, and I can totally resonate with it, being a person who was very interested and not just interested, who left private practice really to pursue a very similar path of how can we expand access to eye care in Africa? How can we contribute to the development of healthcare professionals who will then go on to be advocates and health systems planners and whatever, just to improve the situation in the continent? But what most struck me about what you said is that you've accomplished in your own life, but now you want to sort of lift others up. And that's been a mantra for me. Lift as you rise. It's not just about ourselves. We are on this earth. Yes, we've got our individual vocations, but we're here to make a difference. We've all been gifted with even sometimes just the platforms we have. We can influence and direct change through our connections. And you are already a fellow of the American Academy. So you had your, in a, I can say status, not that you do it for status, but you had your prestige. And some people may think, well, that's enough. I've accomplished, I've ticked that box. But now it's looking back, how can I help others to reach that milestone? You know, Professor Kovanaidu very well, and I worked with him very closely before going into academia. And I remember, gosh, this was must have been some 15 years ago, because I've been in academia more than 12 years. He used to talk about, at that stage, developing an African chapter of the American Academy. And to see it come to life, you know, in 2024 is just such an excellent achievement. So I commend you and your leadership team for initiating this, and I have no doubt that it's going to make a significant impact in elevating African optometry, African researchers, and in capacitating them to improve the state of eye care, the state of optometric education, so that we can make a greater impact in the lives of people in Africa and beyond. So,
yeah, and I think just to add to what you're saying, Diane, beyond that immediate need that we have in Africa, there's a group of young people who are waiting to be nurtured.
Right.
That are unlocked potential as well. There are people who are just waiting to unleash, what can I do? That's what we're seeing from those who have become fellows last year. They're asking, Levi, how can I contribute to this vision?
Wow.
In fact, somebody came to me and said, I want to lead a women chapter of this academy so I can groom more women into fellowship. And that's priceless. You know, you want to sacrifice your time, build energy, motivate others, and that alone tells you that this is not just about Levi and you and myself. There are people who are going to go beyond both of us in their potential, but they just haven't had that platform to do that.
Right.
And that really strikes a chord. It strikes a chord with me.
And they just need someone then to hold their hands and show them and create the opportunity. And it becomes a multiplier effect, right? We sow into others, they sow into others, and so we expand our influence.
No, I think that's just the one you need. I mean, there's a lot of doors that are going to open from that within Africa, outside of Africa. There are people coming to work with us now because they see a structure that they can rely on. You know, that also gives us the platform to disseminate information. You know how much research gets done in Africa. Nobody hears about it.
Yes.
You know how many people don't even know which journals to select when they want to publish. They don't know what journals they can get on to get promotion, to get scholarships. Mm-hmm. So these are the platform that they come in and they feel free to talk about. They ask questions that they never had answers to before. So it's exactly what we're trying to promote. It's opening the eyes of people to say, look, there are just vision beyond here. Optometry is not only about patient consultation.
Right.
There's huge things that you could do. There's a global body that you can be part of. You can make contributions. And that's what people are seeing. And I'm just gladdened by the way people are approaching and embracing this call and making it their own.
That's awesome. You know, this leading the formation of the African chapter of the American Academy of Optometry is not the only initiative I know that you've been involved in or spearheaded to advance research among optometrists on the African continent and to showcase the work that's being done. Tell me what it means, and for our listeners, what does it mean for you to spearhead these initiatives? What drove you, or what continues to drive you to take the baton, to, you know, take up space, to form these working groups or research collaborations? Because I know how much time investment that goes into it. And you mentioned sort of just wanting to invest in others and advance, but outside of yourselves, where do you see your impact, or how do you see your work impacting the future of eye care in Africa and the future of research in eye care in Africa?
Yeah, thanks for that question. And I think the spearheading of initiatives for me is not only aimed at elevating the profile of African researchers and clinicians. It's also both growing professionally and having a personal mission for change. You know, I come from a background where most of the questions I had at the time of graduation, I may not have had answers to. I come from a background where I didn't feel competent, and I didn't have the self-confidence in a global scale to talk about my proficiencies. You know, I see most of our young people the same way. So even though this has come at a personal cost, Diane, it's not been an easy journey. But I get the joy from what I'm doing and seeing people achieve that fellowship, seeing people achieve that publication, seeing people achieve that scholarship. It really gives me joy to say, look, despite these personal sacrifices, there's a change that I'm seeing. Is that an observable change? You know, and that is not a delayed change. You know, the impact of this is immediate. You can imagine that last year, for the first time, the American Academy had 21 Africans who went on to apply for fellowship in a year. The maximum they've ever had before was three or four. In fact, by that change alone, 11 people became fellows just in 1 year. That is 210% increase in a year. These are not people who were not competent. All these guys didn't know about the protocol before. They didn't know what it meant to be a fellow. They didn't know what they needed to do. You know, but here is just a call to say, look, we can hold your hands through this process, and this will change your life. And it has really changed people's life. People are going into clinical investigation journey. People are going into leadership journey with the academy. People are joining committees. Now we have a lot of Africans in the abstract committee, in the case report committee, just because there's not evidence that Africans can do this. You know, so this is one of the things that you think about. You say, okay, so just this simple call, people are getting benefits. People are being known on a global scale. And that really changes the way I see this call. You know, it's not just me, it's beyond the vision that we have. Because you never know who's going to be the next Diane from that group.
So it's taking the lid off people's potential, right? It's not that people didn't have the potential. People have been doing good work in the background, but as you say, just not knowing how to access opportunities or, how do I get to become a fellow, or how do I get published in journal A, B, C, or D, And so having mentors like yourself walk the journey with them and show them the ropes and open the doors. And that's just unleashing a world of opportunity and, their potential, like I said. But I'm sure that you have encountered some resistance on some level from some quarters, and the journey of leadership is challenging. How did you, or how do you continue to deal with any resistances you may encounter when advancing this cause?
Yeah, you're right. One big example was when we wanted to start the African chapter, we had a lot of pushback from so many other people. And the pushback wasn't just because the idea wasn't great. It was because people thought they could have been the one to do this. You know, why wasn't it me? You know, why is it Levi? I remember I live in Australia and I'm championing the cause in Africa. I do understand that sentiments. But however, this is a dream. This is something that I've thought through. This is something I went through processes, thought about myself. Can you do this? What are the things I need? Who do I need on board? How do we start this journey? What would we do to make it sustainable? I've planned this within my, I'm thinking about it ahead of time. So when this resistance come, I knew there was a goal, and I knew there were young people who were very willing to make a change. You know, so it wasn't, and nobody could have stopped that movement because it wasn't just about me. It was about people who saw the potential of what they could accomplish with that. You know, and I'll tell you one instance, even the academy too did not understand what was happening initially. The last time they had academy was only one travel grant that they gave to an African. Last year, they had seven travel grants all granted to Africans because of the number that was coming through. And that changed things. People got grants, 1,500, 1,700 to sustain, to help them in their travel plans. That has never happened before. And that's to tell you that the world is just waiting for Africans to unleash. We knew where the potentials were, but just there was no opportunity for these people to move forward. So I think it's just the little of what's going to come, Diane, because besides that, Yes, also the research mentorship that we've started. We have a group of Africans who are in research, guiding them through writing paper. We are publishing together now. We are showing them how to write manuals, how to do research, critical thinking, the processes of research. Those we are doing with willing teams too, people who have worked elsewhere in the world, who are also with us trying to guide these young folks. The movement there is a very different. These are people who have been waiting for how can we do this doc? How do we get into this manuscript? How can we write this journal publication? I've got research, I've done it before, but I didn't do this. What is ethics? You're asking those questions where they couldn't get answers to previously. And that is a different movement that you're going to see soon because it's happening. And there are people asking questions, collecting data at this moment because they've seen that there are people to guide them. That fear is removed. There was a stumbling block of, I can't do this. Now we're telling them, look, I was like you before, even worse than you were. But here we are today. Just having that person to push you above that line and you see what people could do. So there's a lot coming up. That's great.
That's so encouraging. I'm so inspired by, the feedback you've given me of the early fruit that's already manifesting from the work you've been doing. It's just, I think it is mind-blowing what's going to come out of not just this cohort that you're investing in, but in the next 5 years, the landscape of African optometry and African research, I know, will be very different to what we've known it for the past 20 years. What does leadership and role modeling within your profession mean to you?
Yeah, that's great. My personal belief is you cannot be a leader if you haven't served before. You have to know what service looks like. To serve is a pathway to being a leader. So leadership to me is being a role model to people, showing people how to do things the right way and holding their hands to accomplish that vision. Because if I'm leading you and I'm not there, I don't have that vision. I'm not thinking ahead to see what blocks we'll be facing. How do we navigate that? You'll be very discouraged if you get there, you can't move forward. So my aim of leadership is how can I help this person from A to B and from B to C? And I like taking things in small blocks because I don't want people to see this as a vision that they cannot accomplish. An example is the fellowship that you saw now. So we started with, do you want to be a fellow? Yes or no? If you want to be a fellow, this is the process. Can you get to the first report? If you're getting to the first case report, don't bother about the interview for now. Can you get the case report done? If you're getting it done, awesome. Can we get the second and third and fourth one done? Now, the interview shouldn't bother you because if you've gone through this process, you have more energy to get beyond that level. The same with researchers.
You see that
You
it's
see that it's
doable,
doable. So,
right?
because I know what Africa looks like. When we were in school, we see people do, oh, how many years will it take me to get to become like that? So just that alone brings down your morale. But if you've got somebody who says, look, I've gone through that path, I know it well. And they can see that you've progressed towards that path. Who are willing to follow you? And again, they know you're not doing, it's not for personal gains. And like you said, if this was because of my profile, I wouldn't do it because already it doesn't change my trajectory and my goal. It just helps me to see that people can be like me or better tomorrow. So that leadership, that's what it has to be, because that's what a real world challenge looks like. How can you navigate that? And you have somebody to say, can I call you on the phone when I have difficulty? Yes, you can. Can I speak to you when I have difficulty? Yes, you can. Two of the young fellas I was mentoring visited Australia on a different, I didn't know. They called me on the phone. Doc, I'm in Brisbane for a conference. I'm like, really? It's okay. I was in Brisbane that time. We caught up in my hotel room. And the guy was like, is that you? I said, yes, that's me. That's me. And lucky that you're here. This is a young boy just going to his master's and he had opportunity to travel for his scholar for conference. And these are the things you see. You see them, that's just that meeting with you and seeing that motivation and the embracing that you give to them, the welcoming, really changes the way they view leaders. Leaders are more like you. We are once people looking for opportunities and we're just lucky that we got one. So why can't you also show others the same way?
Yeah, so true. And it's up to, people like you and I who've walked the journey and kind of found our way in the dark almost to now shine the light on the path for others, right? And I always say, for me, that gives me the greatest joy when I look back and see how many lives I've touched. And I think that's why I enjoyed my time in higher education, as you're investing in students, you're investing in the next generation of clinicians. And you know that what you've imparted to them is going to bear fruit in their professional lives and in many other lives that they touch, whether it's their patients or the spaces they work in. But the fruit of the seed that you've planted is going to be far-reaching, and so this kind of work is so rewarding. So as we close out this interview, what encouragement would you give to someone like yourself who's perhaps seen a need in their profession or in the country of their birth? Perhaps they're also immigrants like you and I, and wants to become a champion or an advocate for a cause that they've identified, but feels somewhat apprehensive, resistant, perhaps underqualified, and doesn't know where to start to walk this journey of legacy building impact. What would be your advice be to them?
Yeah, I think as a leader, I guess one thing I also think of you have to also be positive, and it's always good to be competent in what people need to see that you've gone past that stage for them to follow you. And like I said, if you haven't followed before, you understand what followership means. And so my advice to anyone who would like to go to my journey. It's for me, I would think you have to recognize the power of your vision. You need to understand that your vision has the potential to change lives. It doesn't stay with you. And for every great movement, Diane, that has started, every significant change you've seen anywhere in the world, it has started with someone who has recognized a need and decided to do something about that need.
So true.
If you know there's a need and you're sitting down procrastinating, nobody's going to change it. It's your vision. The next person who tries to imitate that vision doesn't have the template. So they won't do it the way you would do it. So it doesn't matter how it comes, it's your vision. You've conceptualized this. Why don't you put it to work? Because it doesn't just stay with you. You could see the number of people who are going to be impacted just by going to the African chapter of the American Academy of Optometry. It's not me. I may not even have met any of them. I'm going to be at the academy yet, but some of them wouldn't even know me when they see me, and I wouldn't even recognize them. But they've been there and they're looking for opportunity. They are looking for connection. They're meeting people, learning, attending workshops, and that's what they want. That's what I want to see, is that enrichment, satisfaction that, yes, I'm satisfied in this profession. I can actually do this and become the big names that people hear about. You can be an African. There's nothing wrong with it. So I think that change is important for me. It is also important to build a network of supporters and a network of mentors and allies. You need to identify those who are your game changers. You need to know who they are. You need to go through the right protocol. Who do you know that can take you to that same level, that next level? Your ability to recognize those and know who your mentors are is very, very important, because those are the ones that can see the bad part of what you're doing. Look, Levi, this is not going to work. This isn't good for you now. They will tell you the truth. They will criticize you when you're doing something wrong. They will call you on the phone, Levi, no, you're taking this away from what we thought it was going to be. Because there's always that probability for us to think differently, try to do excessively, things that are not just within our control. But then somebody calls you, hold on, Levi, that doesn't look good. Can we go this way now? So that mentorship is important. Identifying your allies, your supporters, those people that can share your vision. It's really important to me. I think those are the kind of things I want to see young people think about as well. Again, educate yourself, think of something new, just like you've done now. If you want to go into something new, can you research about it? And do some evidence search, look at the potential of that in the next 5 years. Is this something you're doing for a selfish interest? It's not going to work. Is this something you're doing because you have the passion to keep going? Because that passion is your fuel. It's the passion that
Which
makes
will
you
sustain you.
overcome those obstacles, overcome those negative doubts, overcome the negative voices. It's that passion of, look, I know where I'm going to. Because I've thought about it. So I think that's really important for anybody wishing to take on this journey as well.
I think that's incredible advice. And in my journey of grooming, let me say, grooming healthcare professionals and optometrists in particular, I've seen so many of them. And I'm sure you can relate to this. Not everybody's cut out for clinical practice. As you say, other people that you may train in a clinical profession, but your path is something different. It's to influence and impact in a different way. But people just don't know how to get on the track that was carved out for them. And I think that's why I started this podcast is, you know, just to help people find their path. It doesn't mean leaving your profession, but are there other ways you can bring the best of yourself to still impact healthcare? You know, so many healthcare clinicians are disillusioned, or, you know, we fall into the trap of just criticizing health systems and looking at all the problems. But what are we doing with what we have
I'll
to
do
be able
nothing.
to make the change, to be the change, to start influencing things in the right direction? And the onus is up to us. If you see a problem and it bugs you enough, do something about it, you know? And so I commend you for doing that. You've seen a need, you stepped into the leadership role, you're running with it, you're making the sacrifices. And I can say without a doubt that, you know, in 20 years' time, when you retire one day, you know, you can look back and see all of the fruits of the labor that you've put into this, and be proud. It's not for self-gain, but be proud that the work you've put in has impacted so many lives positively. So thank you so much, Dr. Levi, for the work that you're doing, not even just for being on this podcast today and inspiring the listeners with your story, but thank you for stepping up to the role of leadership and mentoring other young people to show them their potential, to show them the opportunities in the world for them to make a difference, to scale their impact, to explore all parts of themselves, whether this it's scholarship, whether it's just to advance their clinical expertise, you know, to network with other professionals in other parts of the world. And it's up to us to who have had opportunities to then create opportunities for others. So continue to do great work. I wish you well as you continue to
Awesome.
advance the cause of the African chapter of the American Academy of Optometry and all the wonderful projects that you are involved in, even outside of that. I know you're going to do fabulous things, you know, in the coming years as you continue to advance your career. And yeah, I look forward to, in whatever way I can be a contribution to those causes, I'm raising my hand now to be a leader and a mentor by your side, because I know that you can't do it alone and you're not doing it alone. But if ever you need support, we in this together. So thank you so much and all the best with the work as you continue to lead and inspire others.
Yeah, thanks, Diane. And hope I see you in Indianapolis 2024.
I am planning to be there and meet you
Awesome.
in person.
That would be great. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. And that's a wrap for today. If you found value in today's episode, do share it with a friend who you think may need to hear this. And if this episode inspired you, would you be so kind as to head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review for the show? I'd love to hear how our content is helping you on your professional development journey, and your review will also help others discover and benefit from this podcast. Looking forward to hearing more? Then meet me back here again next time for another episode of Life Beyond Clinical Practice. Goodbye.